Oh, what a songs of victory this morning. I love that. I love that. God's at work, but part of what he'll do in his work is work on us. He's not having to do anything else, but my goodness, he sure is having to work on our way of thinking to get us to thinking the way he thinks. Amen. Y'all can be seated. I want to start off with Romans chapter 12. It's not in your notes. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that there's an anointing on your word to break anything in anybody's lives that is holding them captive, that's keeping them from the call of God that's on their life. Father, you've called each and every one of us to go out and to be a light, to be salt, to be pillars of truth in our communities. And Father, whatever is on any person in this room that is keeping them held down, we take authority over it, and we believe as we speak your word that it will break loose. Amen. Thinking, wrong perceptions, words that have been spoken over people that have began to have an effect in a negative way in their lives. Father, your word is truth, and it will break any lie, and we thank you for it in Jesus' name. The church said, amen. Amen. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. This is our part. He's willing, he's provided, and what he needs me to do is to not be conformed to this world's way of thinking, the religious world, the worldly world, but his word is what we're conforming to. And so John started something last week, and he's going to be teaching again next week while we're ministering out of town. So I wanted to stay in the same flow, the same vein, if you will, so that John can just pick right back up next week. And John really was, he and Mandy have been real transparent about their walk. Don't panic, Mandy, I just said your name. She's like Rusty. It's like, we'll back the people that are in the pulpit, but don't talk about us. I appreciate the transparency of coming out of debt and how God had to change y'all's mindsets and the things that y'all did to get there, because I believe that it's going to help a lot of people. Amen. We were talking about this one day in the office, but I come from a different mindset. I was raised in a home who taught me not to go into debt and who taught me godly principles. And so I come from a place of no debt, and I see things differently. And so the mix is great, because it doesn't matter where you are in your financial life, God's got a word for you. He's got a word for you. And I'm not sure who got the idea that money should not be talked about in church, but God strongly disagrees. You can't even put in my notes all the scripture that have to do with money. And if you think about it, I mean, there's literally thousands. Many of you will spend 20, 30, 40, even 50 years working. Most of you, not because you just get a kick out of it, but you're working to get a paycheck. Most of you are working to get a paycheck. And how could we spend that much time? I don't do math, right? Y'all know this about me. But if you work 40, 50 years, anywhere from 8 to 12, to some of you nuclear plant people, even more than that, days, hours a day and days a week, you know how much of your life that is? And do you not think God would have something to say about it? Well, if he cares about our life, he's going to talk about it, because he wants us to have a right perception of, I don't want to call it money, because John covered this well last week, prosperity is more than money. It is more than money. And I didn't put this scripture in your notes, but the wonderful thing about God is it says that He blesses us financially, but He doesn't add any sorrow with it. So if we're sorrowing in our finances, we're missing a principle. We're missing a truth out of God's Word. Or maybe you're just now changing your mindset to the Word of God, and you're just now kind of saying, oh, I see this now, but how do I get there? And for the young people in the room, and we do have a beautiful bunch of young adults. If you're 30 or under, would you stand up? 30 or under? You're young! Woo-woo! It's a good day. Enjoy it. Stand while you can. And a lot of our young people are working upstairs in children's church. Man, y'all are just babies. I love it. Y'all can be seated. Look at what, if we can get these principles before these young people enter into debt. Listen to us old people in the room. I know sometimes you go, yeah. Yes, yeah. Please listen to us, because financial freedom is a whole nother plane to live on. And when you can have to give to any good work that God instructs you to, your life is going to be filled with so much joy. And then when you get a paycheck, it's like, God, what do you want me to do with this? That's it. I mean, that's what you're looking for. You may think you're looking for a car. You're not. Yes, get a car. You don't have to walk everywhere you go. I'm not preaching against cars this morning. Right, Caleb? Car salesman, Ken, car salesman, any other car salesman. I'm not talking against you. Yes, but if we can use godly wisdom in our getting, then we get to keep our peace and keep our joy and actually enjoy what we've bought. That's not in my notes. That's free. We're going to find that wealth is not in what we have. It's in what we know. Wealth is not in what we have. It's in what we know. My Uncle Henry, Lynn, you're probably the only person in the room that can go with me on this. Alicia, you remember Uncle Henry. He and Aunt Ethel. Uncle Henry was a teacher. He loved education. He loved children. He had no children of his own. He had us. And we got to be his heirs. And praise God. He was a teacher, lived on a teacher's salary. And his wife didn't work. She stayed home. And he took beautiful care of her. They had a great romantic relationship. I have their love letters. And they're just a blessing. They were like grandparents to me. We lived next door to them. And he had a saying that my dad passed on to me, and he said, it's not what you make, it's what you do with what you make. Amen. And those two people left an inheritance to their nieces and nephews and their great nieces and nephews off of a teacher's salary. It's not what you make. It's what you do with what you make. If you don't leave here with anything, I know that's not scripture, but it lines up with scripture. So go with me to Proverbs 3. Let's get some verses in here. I want to give you hope. If you don't have hope of being out of debt, I want to give you hope. I want to stand before you and say, with godly principles, it can be done. God has things to say about debt that we want to look at. And when we're talking about these things, I don't want it to be condemnation. I want it to be inspiration. Okay? So nobody's condemned. I don't care how much credit card debt you're sitting here, or you're about to lose your car, or you're about to lose your house. Look, this is our hope. conforming to God's way of thinking is our hope. Proverbs 3, verse 13, I'm reading out of the NIV, says, blessed is the man who finds riches. Nobody's going to throw anything? No. It says, blessed is the man who finds wisdom. The man who gains understanding. I'm going to put the word wisdom in here. It says she. For wisdom is more profitable than silver, and wisdom yields better returns than gold. Wisdom is more precious than rubies, and nothing you desire can compare with her. Listen to this. Long life is in her right hand. Long life is in wisdom's right hand. And in wisdom's left hand are riches and honor. Wisdom's ways are pleasant ways, and all her paths are peace. Hallelujah. This is life. Amen. This is the God kind of life. This is what God's wisdom used in your life, applied in my life. This is the life it will bring to you. Long life, riches, honor, pleasant ways, and peace. Ladies and gentlemen, that is prosperity. Your health, your peace, your provision. Wisdom is more profitable than silver and yields more. Y'all know what gold's bringing right now? How much? 3,300 an ounce. Rusty buys gold and silver. That's why I'm looking at him. 3,300 an ounce. Man, I wish I had a bunch of gold. If you had a bunch of gold, you had already spent your gold. Did you ever get your W-2 at the end of the year and look at it? And see how much money you made in a year? And then look at it and go, where'd it go? Where did that go? I think John said it last week. When you said you put something on your board, and then God said, if you had that, you wouldn't know what to do with it. So he started looking at wisdom, godly principles. Because God is a blesser. He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. That's not wrong. That's not greed. That's not wrong to receive what God's blessed us with. But when we waste what God's blessed us with, I don't want to be that. So I felt today I was supposed to spend time talking about financial wisdom. And we'll start off with a Tom Underhill quote. I guess I've already given you an Uncle Henry quote, so we'll go for a TU quote, which is my dad. If your outgo exceeds your income, your upkeep will be your downfall. Have y'all ever had anything that you thought you needed and then the upkeep of it just drove you? You lost your peace over the upkeep of it? I remember a story on Joe Nay. For those of y'all who have been here a long time, you'll remember Joe Nay. Great guy, just a character. He's in heaven now. He wanted a Corvette. He was old. You know, sometimes when you get older, you start thinking, no offense, Vic. Sorry. I forgot you had one. Anyway, he thought he needed this. John mentioned somebody last week, somebody that thought they needed a plane, or, you know, there's things sometimes we think we need or we think we want, and then when we get them, it's not near as attractive. Why? Because upkeep starts in. That house looks great until property tax time comes around. And I'm just telling you, if you run for governor and you say that you're going to get rid of property taxes, I'll look at your morals, but you're probably going to get close to having my vote on that alone. Property taxes. You pay for the house, and then you keep paying for the house. It's the upkeep. And when we buy something, sometimes we just look at the payment of it or the cost of it, but we forget to look at the upkeep of it. And that may not sound real spiritual to y'all, but it is. Because financial pressure can cause marital issues. It can cause health issues, loss of peace, loss of joy. And so don't forget to look at the upkeep. So I'll give you the quote again. If your outgo exceeds your income, if your outgo, what you're spending, exceeds your income, your upkeep will be your downfall. Debt was not God's idea. Debt was not God's idea. You may be in debt up to your eyeballs right now. But if you are, just know God has a plan, and if you will operate in it, you can come out of debt. You can be debt-free. You can live debt-free, but not without wanting it. Not without wanting it. And so I'm just going to ask you right now, and I don't want you to answer out loud. I want you to unless you want to, answer from the inside. Do I want it? Do I want to be debt-free? Can I see myself debt-free? Now, if you don't have any debt, it's a great time. Raquel and Suzanne, and you know, it's a great time to say, I'm going to live debt-free. Well, what about good debt? Look, I understand that sometimes to get a business started, you might have to borrow money. I understand you got to have shelter for your family. But ultimately, no debt is great debt. But if you have to borrow, then make sure that debt is a debt you can pay comfortably. Yes. Comfortably. And see, the banks have this thing that they call qualified. So when you go to buy a house, Jaden, y'all have got a new house. Audrey, you've got a new house. Boy, I'm hitting the row over there. They will say, this is what you qualify for. What they do is they take, no, I'm preaching to the choir here. They take what you make, what you bring in, and they say, okay, you make $50,000 a year, whatever. Then you can afford this house. And I say this every time, and I'll probably say it every single time I teach this. You may qualify for a $250,000 house. But do you want to take your kids out to eat pizza Friday night? Because they didn't figure that in. Right. Yep. Do you want to have money to give when you see somebody in need? See, they didn't figure that in, so you better. You qualify. I know this doesn't sound spiritual, but it is. It'll keep you out of my office. Because you're having marital problem. Because you're under marital pressure and you can't get along. It's just the truth. When you are qualified for a car, I'm getting on the car salesman here, but I'm going to, and you can afford this payment, I want you to think about not just your house payment, but how you want to live. Figure that in and go less than what you qualify for. And then you've got room to breathe. And then if you have to miss a week of work, you're not having a heart attack. Because this wisdom that we just talked about has in her hand long life. You will not live a long life in a life of stress. Your body wasn't made for it. It was made for peace. And there's just a different way of living. You're going to need a plan that's paved with godly wisdom. And you're going to need self-control. You're going to need self-discipline. Some of our favorite words. But the fruit of it is freedom. Go with me to Proverbs 22. This is a powerful little sentence right here. Y'all breathing okay out there? Proverbs 22, verse 7. The rich ruleth over the poor. You can like it, you cannot like it. That's what he said. But listen to why. The borrower is servant to the lender. So when you think you got to have that thing and you go in to sign those papers, you're signing a portion of your life to that entity. And your future paychecks are spoken for. Now, I'm not trying to freak us out here. I'm trying to help us. And if nobody else but those people that stood up in this room a while ago that they are 30 and under, the rest of us can just sit there and sweat if you're in debt and go, we got to have a plan. This isn't to put pressure on you. This is to put freedom in your eyes where you can see that it can come. But please know that when you are a borrower, you are servant to the lender. You need to pay your debts.
Amen.
It's scriptural to pay your debt. If we owe money, our income is already spoken for, and it takes away the pleasantness of our labor. Because you're working for something that's already spent. It takes away the pleasantness of our life. Just imagine, if you have debt, imagine if when you got your paycheck, none of it except what goes to God is spoken for. It's payday. It's payday. Imagine, I want y'all to imagine that feeling. Because you're going to need to keep that in front of you to do what needs to be done.
Yeah.
Debt causes worry for tomorrow. Made me think of Matthew 6, you know, don't take on tomorrow's worries. Debt causes worry for tomorrow because you're always under that pressure of, I've got to, I have to work, I have to. I would really, God put in me this gift and talent, and I would really love to go and do this, but it doesn't pay enough money because it doesn't match my debt. But God gives you freedom. He gives you freedom. And then the gifts and the talents, if you want to make guitars or you want to play golf or whatever you want to do, you can do. Because tomorrow is taken care of by God. Work was meant to be fulfilling. Work was not a curse. When Adam bowed his knee to Satan, that's when the curse came in. And the curse was not work. The curse was the sweat of the brow with work. God already had a job lined up for Adam and Eve to tend the garden. That wasn't a curse. That was fulfillment. When they bowed their knee to Satan, that's when God said, you've bowed your knee to a cursed God. Now you're going to work by the sweat of your brow.
Amen.
We're redeemed from the curse.
Amen.
So our work should be fulfilling. It's a gift from God for us to enjoy. You want scripture for that? Ecclesiastes. Some of y'all need to put it on your work locker or something. Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 18. I'm going to read this to you out of the Amplified, which uses a few more words. So, behold, y'all found Ecclesiastes yet? I'm sorry, I hear pages turning. Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes is an interesting book. You need to read it. Okay, chapter 5, verse 18. If you're on a device, I'm in the Amplified. Behold, what I have seen to be good and fitting is for one to eat and drink and to find enjoyment in all the labor in which he labors under the sun all the days which God gives him, for this is his allotted part. Also, every man to whom God has given riches and possessions and the power to enjoy them and to accept his appointed lot and to rejoice in his toil, this is the gift of God to him. For he shall not much remember seriously the days of his life, because God himself answers and corresponds to the joy of his heart. The tranquility of God is mirrored in him. That's a beautiful way to work. That's a beautiful way to work. This is the gift of God to him. This is the gift of God to him. Can you see the joy of freedom? This world says borrow and get it now. Borrow and get it now, girl. Borrow, go shopping. Find your joy when you're down, go shopping. Well, it feels good for a moment until the credit card bill comes in. Borrow and get it now. Enjoy it now. Why wait? Let's go ahead and get it now. Why wait? We'll put it on the credit card, honey. Let's go to the beach. We'll put it on the credit card, honey. Bad news is you've got to come home. 1 Timothy 6:6 says, but godliness with contentment is great gain. Godliness with contentment is great gain. It's great acquiring. That's what that word gain, it's great acquiring. Godliness with contentment is great gain. Why wait? So you can enjoy it. So you can enjoy it. Is this too hard? To get out of debt, we need to quit acquiring new debt and acquire some contentment. I did this to myself yesterday. I so wanted some new clothes to wear this morning. You know, it's transition. Sometimes it's summer, sometimes it's winter, and I'm thinking some lightweight fall, some what I call Arkansas fall, which could be anywhere from 90 to 110 degrees. And I thought, you know what? I don't need it. My sweaters, I'll be in play, you know, who knows, tomorrow maybe. Or my summer clothes might be appropriate for tomorrow. Depends on what day Arkansas chooses to be. But and I can afford to go buy clothes. And I do go buy clothes. But I had this on my mind. I thought, no, Susan, you're going to get in your closet, because there's things you haven't worn in a year. And be content. Put something new together. I'm telling you, this is a small lesson, but it is huge. We got to get out of debt. We got to quit acquiring new debt. We can't keep digging the hole. The average credit card interest for 2025 is over 21%. You can't win that battle. Not still accumulating and acquiring new debt. You can't win that battle. Making minimum payments, you can't make that battle. I don't do math, but I'm smart enough to figure that one out. Well, I don't know how. I don't know how. Ask God. We're going to talk about some things, but ask God. We got to find money, and God knows where it is. And I don't mean find somebody's wallet. I mean find money in your budget. Find money in an extra gifting or talent that you have that maybe you can, Chuck, I thought about Pam working that craft show in Clarksville this weekend, and she, that picture of her birdhouses, that she takes old cups and saucers that people have had of their grandmothers and their, I've got Aunt Ethel's, I got a pile of them, that she makes birdhouses out of these things, absolutely gorgeous. And she says she's retired, but you know what? She's bringing in income extra. Get your, ask God where there's extra money, where you can start chipping away at that debt. But we've got to stop the bleeding. And I'm going to ask y'all to get out your, not here, to get out your credit card bill sometime this week and look at it and say, Father, show me where I can improve. Let me just give you a couple of ideas. Lord, please forgive me for what I'm about to say. Midtown Coffee. If you're in debt, you have no business buying a $6 cup of coffee. The owner's present, so I'm just going to look the other way. Treat yourself. Let it be a treat. Let it be a special occasion. But every day, I'm sorry, Kayla, did I look at you? I'm so sorry. That must have been the Lord because I just found myself looking at you. Tucker, you can thank me later. Eating out. He brought some this morning. Eating out is more expensive. What you cook at home. You know, my granny used to give people lessons in the church on how to cook for large families cheap. She did. She had menus for them. She told them what to buy, how much to buy. I'm getting ahead of myself. I'm getting to the end of the message, the part that hurts. But it hurts so good for you 80s people. Get out your credit card bill. This is accountability. If we don't look, we can't be corrected. And I don't want to look at mine either. In fact, I'm going to shred it before Rusty gets home. Because mine might have something to do with grandkids on there and travel basketball and things like that. Let's ease this here with a little scripture because I'm ouching up here. Proverbs 27, verse 23. I'm going to read it out of the Living Bible. Proverbs 27. Let me just hold y'all accountable. Can y'all commit to looking at your credit card bill this week? Okay. And if you don't have debt, you know, but still, this scripture is going to get even those of us who are debt free. Verse 23 says, "Riches can disappear fast, and the king's crown doesn't stay in his family forever." So, watch your business. Watch your business interest closely and know the state of your flocks and your herds. In other words, you better be looking over your business. You can't act like everything's just okay and come out of debt or stay out of debt. I love this. Riches can disappear fast and the king's crown doesn't stay in his family forever. So watch your business interests closely and know the state of your flocks and your herds. That was their wealth. In this day, this was their wealth, their flocks, their herds. He's saying, you know what? Shop your checking account and see if there's one that pays you interest. Did you know that there are checking accounts that'll pay you interest for what's in your checking account? Well, that wouldn't be but about 2 cents. It's 2 cents that you didn't labor for. See, sometimes we mock small things. We discount them. But small things add up. That's right, Kat. They add up. Know the state of your flocks. What is that for you? You know, what does that mean to you? What does that mean in your life? Know the state of your flocks and of your herds. That means we're looking. We're examining. We're knowing the state of our business. With that, let's go back to what we can look at. Eating out. Vacations. You know, when... When I was a single mom of two kids and a lot of the world was going snow skiing every winter, even my own family and people in the church were going snow skiing, we didn't. We rented a house up on Mount Nebo and we had a good time. Amen. We did that even after we were married. People would be going to the beach. Oh, not us, because I was determined we were going to be out of debt by the time I was 40. I didn't make it. I was 42. Praise God. You aren't near as happy about that as I am and resting. We rented a house at Dardanelle on Mount Nebo, took their box, and had a great time. We rented a place at Greer's Ferry. We did that most of my life anyway. It's kind of my childhood second home. And we would go to Greer's Ferry. Everybody else is going on these beautiful, wonderful vacations. They're swimming in the ocean. I'm swimming in Greer's Ferry with my kids, but I am doing it in absolute freedom with no regret. And folks, that's a good vacation when you can actually enjoy your kids when you're on it. When you stop at the gas station, you can actually go in and get them something. Instead of freaking out over what they're spending while you're on this vacation. This is godly wisdom. It's not popular, but I'm going to preach it anyway. I want you to feel it. I want you to be able to see it. Make a grocery list before you go to the grocery store. And in some cases, leave your husband at home when you go to the grocery store. And leave your kids at home. Have you ever got to the end and you're like, how did that get in my buggy? And the three-year-old's like, Oreos, you know. Make a grocery list before you go. Or do grocery pickup. My daughter's always after me to do grocery pickup. Mom, no, I want to feel my own food. I mean, if I'm going to get oranges, I want to know that they are not rotten in the bottom of the bag. But it is a great way to save money because then you're not walking up and down the aisles putting stuff in these are simple yet powerful. And don't go hungry. Of course, you all know that one. Pay off your smallest debt. Pay off your smallest debt and then put that money on the next smallest debt. You got to start somewhere. You might not can look at paying off your house right now, but you might can look off paying that TJ Maxx credit card. Amen. Or that might be bigger than your house payment. I don't know. I like me some TJ Maxx. I'm just saying. You might need to downsize. You might need to downsize. If it's eating your lunch, downsize. My dad used to say my mother worked for the highway department. She packed the pavement for him because she was always on the go all the time, and he would kind of be lightheartedly talking to her about the gas money that was going out the window. He did take her checkbook away one time, and he did ask her to start writing down what she was spending her money on, and she was in rebellion. I don't think she told him the truth. Just saying. That didn't last long. Aim at using less fuel. Unless you're going to work every day, you don't have to go to town every day. Gas is expensive. Shop your insurance. I know, my nephew is my insurance man. I know, it's hard for me to shop insurance when Cody is my insurance man. But occasionally I'm going to shop my insurance. And my nephew just needs to give me a better deal. Now, there is quality of service. And sometimes I'll pay a little bit more for something for quality of service. And that's another reason I stick with Cody. This one just really, my grandpa taught this to my dad, and my dad taught it to us. The hand that turns the light on can turn it off. Yes. Entergy likes their money. And they're going to ask for it. But you don't have to give it to them if you turn off your extra lights. I'm not talking about working in the dark, although sometimes Rusty comes home and I am. But it's just because if I don't need light, I'm not going to turn it on. I don't have to have the light on. My laundry is right by the window. I got 3 windows in my laundry room. I'm not going to turn my light on in the daytime to fold my laundry when I can see my laundry. I can do it in the dark anyway with my eyes closed. I've done it long enough. I mean, Susan, this is ridiculous. Let me tell you, freedom's good. Teach your kids to turn the light off. Sometimes when I go over to see my grandkids, I give them like a time, and I'll be like, let's see how many lights we can turn off. Who can turn off the most lights? And their house is quite large. And I mean, like, they're counting. You can hear them flipping switches and counting. Like, 1, 2, 3, you know, and they're just like, well, there's 15 lights on. That's money. My dad used to be really picky about this. And I don't mean that he didn't hound us about it. He just taught us. Why are you running the water while you brush your teeth? Turn it on when you need to and turn it off when you don't. And he used to say things like, why are you turning the hot water on? It doesn't get hot by the time. And I've got an instant water heater. People say, like, why are you standing there waiting? I don't stand there and wait for the water to get hot to wash my hands. But he's like, if you turn the hot water on and you wash your hands while it's still cold and then you turn it off before it gets hot, your water heater just kicked on. And you're talking about a user of electricity is your water heater. Now, don't take a cold bath. Unless you have to. Is this too? Okay. You can turn up or down your thermostat a degree or two and make a difference in your bill. I don't suggest that it's when it's 110 outside, but, you know, when it's comfortable outside. You're going to have to ask God to show you how to bring in extra and where to save extra. I can sit here and name things that I've learned down through the years all day long, but you're going to have to ask the Holy Spirit, who is your helper, to show you where you can save. And don't think that small amounts don't matter. They're going to add up in the long haul. Go to 2 Kings. I hope none of that was too painful. It's just to get your wheels turning. We're used to excess in America, but it doesn't mean we have to waste excessively. 2 Kings Chapter 4, there's a widow lady, and she is in trouble, in debt. And the prophet comes by her house, and I just picked out this one verse. You can go back in, because it's a beautiful story, and there's lots of lessons in it that I believe the Lord can bring out to you. But in verse 2, Elisha replied to her, and he said, how can I help you? Tell me, what do you have in your house? And she said, your servant has nothing here at all. Then she said, except I have a little oil. I find it interesting that when a lot of times when we look for help, we look for outside help. We're trained that way in America. When we need help financially, we look for outside help. And the prophet, when dealing with this woman, didn't look for outside help. He didn't bring her something other than wisdom. And he said, what do you have in your house? And she didn't think it was anything. But what you have in the hands of God could be your answer. We have people all the time Well, not all the time. Getting more and more frequently, I'll put it that way. We use good words. That have a box of jewelry. They've had that box of jewelry sitting in their dresser drawer, broken jewelry, gold and silver. They can't pay their bills, or they need a little extra. And Rusty weighs that stuff, and we're like, oh, well, this is $2,000 worth of plasma. What? Who knew you could sell plasma? I don't like needles, so that if God says, what's in your house, and I say plasma, whew, just hoping we don't have to go that far. Now they're all like, we can go after lunch. Let's go out and eat, then we can pay for it with plasma money. You know? There, what do you have in your house? If God were to ask you right now, what do you have that I can bless? See, that little pot of oil, God put his hand on it and multiplied it. She sold it, and it took care of her and her household. So if God were to say, what do you have in your house? I want you to think about how you'd answer that. She got her sons involved. And she said, go get pots. Because the prophet had said, don't get a few, right? And she sent her kids out. Involve your family in this plan. My dad was so good about that. He would call us to the kitchen table and he'd say, we're fine. We're fine. But we need to tighten our belts. I think that meant we're not going to eat as much in the old time days, but we ate just fine. I mean, we were fine. He was saying we're fine, but the excess spending needs to be lined out a little bit. We're not going to do this, that, or that. We're going to get through this time. We're going to be fine. He was always very assuring that we were going to be fine. We knew God was our source. I mean, we were taught that. That was foundational. You didn't even have to say that. But for this time period, we're going to tighten it up a little bit. And he got us in on the plan. Your kids may complain that they don't get that basketball shoe, or they don't get to do what somebody, but if they're in on the plan, they at least see a reason, and it gives them understanding, and it teaches them a valuable lesson. Look, the way you're handling your finances is generational. And if you do not want your children to live in debt, then do not show them the credit card every time anybody in the family has a want. Oh, amen, Sister Susan. That was great. Credit card debt people tend to raise credit card debt people tend to raise credit card debt people tend to... Somebody's got to stop this. And it's not comfortable. And it's not fun. But freedom is coming. Amen. And you keep your eyes. And you have rewards set. You know, hey, we've done really good this month. Let's go to Midtown and get us some coffee. I got to redeem myself. We've done really good. Let's go get snow cones. We've done really good. Let's go... You know, make it fun. Bring the family in. Make them a part of it. Let them be part of the lesson. And don't be embarrassed over what you've done, but teach through what you've done and show how you can turn things around. And I believe that your family will be better for it. Man, let me cover some passages for you to meditate on this week, other than the ones that we just had. Go to Proverbs 24. If you haven't spent time in the book of Proverbs, I want to encourage you to, because it is so much wisdom, as you know. And you know, when Solomon would write things, we should listen. Because you can go and you can buy some seminar, you can go to some seminar on some successful real estate person or some successful internet guru, and you can go and you can pay for all that. Or you can go read the book of Proverbs, and you can listen to the people who were the richest people who have ever lived on the planet that had godly wisdom, and God saw fit to have it written for us. And so there's so much in there and so many financial lessons in the book of Proverbs that it didn't take long when I started reading Proverbs last night for me to come to the first couple of ones, which I don't have in here, but I believe it was pretty quickly that it had to do with finances. But go, Proverbs 24, verse 3 says, "Through wisdom is a house builded, and by understanding it is established. And by knowledge shall the chambers be filled with all precious and pleasant riches." Wisdom, understanding, and knowledge. Learning and applying, learning and applying, learning and applying. Proverbs 22:4. "By humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life." Do you know money's a spiritual thing? Oh, we'll probably teach on that some week. It's connected. Money's a spiritual thing. "Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." It's a big deal to God. How we handle our finances, it's a big deal to God. Deuteronomy 8:18. Am I going too fast for you? "But remember the Lord your God, for it is He who gives you the ability to produce wealth," or the power to produce wealth. God has put in every person something that will prosper them. God has put in every person something that will prosper them. And I realize sometimes it's hard because we want to put our ideas on our children on what will prosper them. But God put something in your children that will prosper them. And it's our job to pick up on what those abilities, what those desires, and what those things are, and to help them develop them. I've told this story so many times, I'm going to tell it again in case you didn't get it. In case there's somebody new. When Wade was in high school, He was a pretty sharp kid, and he scholarshiped on his ACT and went to Tech and didn't cost us anything, and he didn't want to go. I said, "Look, it's free, and you're going," basically, in a nutshell. I probably said it nicer than that, but. And he went, and he hated it. Now, I'm not asking you, if you're in college, drop out, okay? That is not my purpose. My purpose is for us as parents and for you as young people to realize that there is something in you that will prosper you. Wade loved to work with his hands. We had raised him that way. My dad was a huge influence, and he was out on the farm, and he was working a chute gate for cattle when we had to stand him on a chair to reach the release. Alicia, you remember it. He had on his little chaps, his little vest, his cowboy hat, his boots, and his spurs, and he was out there to work cattle with Pop. He loved working with his hands. It's who he was. Yes, his brain was smart. Always thought he should be an engineer. He could just see things. He knew how things worked. He could make them work. But college didn't work for him. In fact, he walked out of a class one time because what the professor was saying didn't line up with the Word of God. And so at some point, I had to let that go. That he's going to have to go to college in order to be successful. He went and joined the Carpenters Union. I don't care what you think about unions. He joined the Carpenters Union. Went to work at the Nuke. Traveled outages. Then he became an iron worker. Became part of a very elite team under Jeremiah Jordan out there. Very highly respected team. And was making, he was over $100,000 a year. At age 24, had his own house, had his own truck. The worst thing I could have done was to have forced him into what I thought his abilities were. You pray, you talk to God. Josh, you knew him well. Used to run with him. Those good cross-country days, right? Man, you're looking at me so serious right now. There's something in every person that God has put in them. And you know what? He loved his job. Loved it. Loved to talk about what they were doing. Sending us pictures. He loved it. It was pleasant. It was fun. It was long hours, and you had to like what you were doing. But praise God, there was something in him that satisfied his soul and not just his checkbook. Maybe it's a lesson for some of us older ones as well. By humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. Remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth. You have the ability to produce wealth. You have the ability to produce wealth. Wealth is not wrong if God gave you the ability to do it. Amen. And so confirms his covenant. God's money becomes your money, and it has a purpose. It confirms his covenant, which he swore to your forefathers as it is this day. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. I'm going to give you enough for you to see it if you'll meditate on these passages this week. I'm reading this out of the NIV, 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6. Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. We're not talking about giving today, but God loves a cheerful giver. Each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Guess what? You can't give what you ain't got. Amen. He loves a cheerful giver. And being in God's financial plan and doing it God's way, you don't have fear of giving. Because your job's not your source. It's just an avenue. God, your source. And it brings such freedom that you can be a cheerful giver. And God is able to make, listen to this, God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. That's the goal. That's the goal. And he says that God's able to make that grace abound to you, to where you can be in that place where in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you can give to any good work. Every good work. Any good work he shows you to give to, you're going to be in a place where you can give it, because you put yourself in that place. Now let me read that out of the Amplified. And God is able to make all grace, every favor and earthly blessing, come to you in abundance, so that you may always and under all circumstances and whatever the need be sufficient, possessing enough to require no aid or support, and furnished in abundance for every good work and charitable donation. That's prosperity. Amen. That's prosperity. That's the place God wants you to be in. And if you're under the burden of debt this morning, I want you to take these scriptures and eat them up this week. Amen. And then where God shows you to take action and what you can do to get yourself out of debt, it may involve giving to someone. It may involve working an extra job. It may involve turning your lights off. It may involve not driving. All those things we talked about. Let him show you and let him help you get there. But it's going to be wishful thinking until we take the action that he gives us to take. God blesses obedience. He's trying to get us somewhere. He's trying to get us in the same vein, the same flow that he's in. And he is not a God of lack. He's a God of abundance. And if he loves a cheerful giver, you can, I started to say bet, but that's probably not on his table. I promise you, he is a cheerful giver. And he loves to give. And he expects us to look like him. We can't give what we don't have. Amen? Can you see yourself free? If you can't, then dig in. Dig in and hold on. Because when you take him at his word and you trust him with it, he's fixing to show you some things. And as you walk out that obedience, you're gonna get to see some things start turning around. We're turning a ship here, right? But the young people in the room, they never have to know pressure of debt. Don't ever have to know it. Choose not to. Amen? Y'all can stand. This is one of my favorite subjects in the whole wide world. Because we deal with so many people that come in off the street, you know, they don't have. They don't even have to give to their own families to provide. And it hurts, doesn't it, Dylan? Sometimes we're having to teach Dylan to say no sometimes. It's hard to say no because you can see the pressure on their face. But sometimes it's a lifestyle that has to be changed. They don't need a Band-Aid slapped on it. And so we have to use a lot of wisdom there, but it's hard. It hurts you to see people that way. So we want to be in a place where when God says, take care of them, we're going to go get them formula, right? That's right. Oh, Father, you're so good to us. You're so good to us. We thank you for your wisdom. We thank you for your anointing that's on the word. We thank you for the faith that is coming because they have heard the word. We have heard your word and faith is coming. What we do with what came is up to us. But Holy Spirit, as the teacher of the church, I ask that you stir up that hope on the inside of them to start taking some actions, to set some goals, to make a plan, to listen to people who can teach them the how to get where you desire them to be. Now take authority over the spirit of poverty and lack. It has no place in your children. We have a Father to teach us about every part of life, including our finances, our jobs, our careers, our savings, our investings, our givings, Father. We thank you. We expect instruction, and we'll be glad to hear it from you. And it'll cause great turnaround in the lives of the people. You'll get us prepared for these last of the last days, where the church, as individuals, us, people, can be prepared to be the light of the world in every arena of life. And we'll be able to point them to the good Father who has the way. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, the church said, amen. Amen. Go out and be blessed.